Hello, and welcome to Journey the Monkey King with myself, Kriva, and my friend MJ.
Hello!
We're moving on to chapter 35, and as a warning, this is chapter is going to feature death and fire and burning, so fun stuff.
All of my favorite things. Yay, fire!
Yeah.
Actually, I fucking love fire.
Fire is good, as long as it's not on people.
Yes. Yeah. Totally not going through a list of people I'd like to set on fire right now.
As a general rule, anyway. I think, like, even people I hate, I would not wish them... I would not wish that happen to anyone.
That's because you're a good person.
So, if you'll recall... where we were, in the last chapter, Pilgrim Sun was captured by the Silverhorn Demon using the yellow gold rope, escaped, stole the rope, pretended to be his fake younger brother, Grimpil Sun, then got captured again in the purple gold gourd, and escaped again and stole that too.
I am Mr. Snrub.
So, treasures in hand... he goes back outside, knocks on the door again, and introduces himself as Sun Pilgrim.
For God's sake.
His master plan is to do the exact same fucking thing again.
I mean, is this one of those things that's going to work? Because no one would be stupid enough to do that twice.
maybe.
Maybe. Okay. No spoilers. I'll be quiet.
Golden Horde says words to the effect of, with my own added profanity, what the fuck, how many of them are there?
We're from a small town that without much to do in the evenings. it's a very large family.
So Silverhorn isn't worried. He's already dealt with Pilgrim Sun and Grimpil Sun. Who is definitely a real person who actually exists, and he can deal...
Mr. Snrub.
He can deal with Sun Pilgrim as well. He is, yeah, Mr. Snrub. I can't say words.
Words are kind of important for podcasting.
They are, unfortunately. It's very...
They are, yes.
It's very unfair.
You gotta make the mouth sound.
Silverhorn steps out and tells Sun Pilgrim that he's not going to fight... but he's going to call Sun Pilgrim's name. Do you dare answer me? And Wukong says, if Silverhorn calls, he'll answer. But will he do the same if Wukong calls him? And Silverhorn, for some reason, stops to explain that he wants to do this because he has this magic gourd that captures people if they respond to their name. I don't know why he explains this.
What?
But he then asks Wukong, so why do you want to call my name? So Wukong, who has the real gourd that he stole, pulls it out and shows it off. And Silverhorn is pretty surprised because he's holding an identical one to it. And he asks Wukong where it came from. Wukong...
could have just said because he was hot.
What?
Silverhorn.
Oh.
Never mind.
Sorry.
We both had long weeks, apparently. I'm interrupting the narrative. Sorry.
That's your job.
I know, but I it's an art form, you know. You need to know when to interrupt and when to just have the nice lady do story time.
You need to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Yep.
Wukong, of course, doesn't have a clue where the gourd is from, so he just asks Silverhorn instead, where does yours come from? And Silverhorn obliges and explains. And he says, this gourd of mine came into existence during the time when chaos divided and heaven and earth were created. There was then a supreme primordial old patriarch, that is, Lao Tzu, who through death changed himself into Nuwa and took on her name. She melted stones in order to repair the heavens and save the mundane world when she reached a crack in the northwest region at the base of the Kunlun Mountain, she discovered a strand of immortal creeper on which was formed this red gourd of purple gold. It is therefore something handed down by Laozi until now.
And it was on sale.
And Wukong says, oh yeah, mine's from the same place. And he retells the exact same story and that and says it's from there as well. And he says that they're a pair and that mine is the male one and yours is the female one of the gourds somehow.
There's some sort of toxic masculinity at play there. This is a dick measuring contest. This is a gourd dick measuring contest.
Wukong lets Silverhorn try his gourd first. He shouts Sun Pilgrim and Wukong replies repeatedly, hello, yes, 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 hello, yes, yes. It doesn't actually say what he says when he replies, but that's how I'm imagining it. He does reply, okay, like, repeatedly. It does say that.
Yo!
And absolutely nothing happens because Silverhorn's gourd is fake.
No.
So Silverhorn drops to the ground in surprise and starts stamping his feet. He shouts, even a treasure like this is afraid of her mate. When the female meets the male, it ceases to be effective. Which is just...
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. There's comments to be made on that one for sure.
Yeah, I don't really know what to, I don't really particularly want to comment too much on it because I just don't know. And then Wukong finally gets to try out the real gourd. He shouts, "Great King Silverhorn!" And for some bloody reason, Silverhorn responds to it and gets sucked in, and Wukong seals him inside. I don't know. I don't know why he responded, and I don't know why he explained the reason he wanted. Like, he's like, "Oh, I want to call your name because I have a trap here that will kill you if you answer. Please, please answer." Like, why is he explaining these things?
Silverhorn is not the shiniest spoon in the drawer.
No, no.
Despite the name. Well, God love him.
Yeah. Wukong heads back towards the cave. He's a bit unsteady on his feet and the road is potholed. And he ends up shaking the gourd a bit and hearing sloshing inside it. And Wukong thinks it might be a trick that Silverhorn is after, like, pissing inside it like Wukong was thought of doing. But the narrator assures us that Silverhorn just dissolved immediately. He's dead. He's melted.
He was Heisenberged.
Yeah, he is dead. He's gone.
Yeah, pour him out in the desert.
So Wukong starts talking to the gourd as he walks back to the cave, kind of taunting it, and he recites parts of Lady Peach Blossom to it, which is a drama about a woman who outwits a devious fortune teller named Master Zhao, just kind of mocking Silverhorn.
Ah. Yeah, I took a look. You sent me that play. I took a look for it and I didn't find it, and I had some contenders, but none of them were. There's a very nice, lovely fairy tale about a society living in perfect harmony in a cave called something very similar, but I could not find anything to do on that play.
Yeah, I had a quick look for myself and I wasn't able to find anything on it in English, so. But the demon soldiers report all this to Goldenhorn, and he is very sad. His brother and his mom are now dead.
In one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta feel for the poor wee demon.
So Zhu Baji, who is still tied up in the cave, tells Goldenhorn that Grimpel's son and Sun Pilgrim are actually just Pilgrim's son. They're you know, the other two were just fakes that are tied up. And he tells them instead of mourning, he should just untie all of them and make them a meal and we'll forgive you and go on our way.
Whoa.
Stop crying over your brother being dead. Just make a dinner.
And your mother being dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, just... It feels less insulting to just kill the guy yeah. at that point. You know, you killed his brother without a second thought. You really gonna humiliate this poor guy?
Yeah, Goldenhorn doesn't do this, he orders his minions to untie Baji, not to release him, just to start cooking him.
Well, we can't really feel too sad about anything that happens to Baji.
Yeah,
I kind of like that we get these moments where, like, because Sun Wukong aside, he's a mischievous character. He can be a likable character, and then you get moments like the child murder, just out of the blue. I know we said we're done with child murder, but just to bring it up again briefly, and this where you kind of go, okay, no, this guy is ruthless and has zero empathy for others.
Yeah, and then Baji is just consistently a shithead.
Oh yeah, well, what the fuck, Baji. We all know that. Yeah, nobody likes Baji. We are all rooting for the pig to fail.
So one of Golden Horn's imps tells him that they still have the Sword of the Seven Stars, the Palm Leaf Fan, and the Pure Jade Vase to use against Wukong. But Golden Horn thinks the vase is going to be useless. It works the same way as the gourd, and that's already backfired horribly.
I mean, it's probably less useless if you're. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Suppose he knows what he's about.
Yeah, and the other one just killed his brother, so.
True.
So he takes the sword and the fan to go fight Wukong. And Wukong demands again that he release the other pilgrims and give them some travel money for the road, and he might be spared.
Oh my God. He is just trolling, right? He does not expect this to happen. It's hard to tell here.
I doubt it. Like, yeah, Golden Horn doesn't. He just attacks, and I can't imagine Wukong is too upset by
I think he's been itching for a fight since the breakup.
that.
I know they're back together now, but I think there's got to be that lingering resentment there. He just wants to hit something.
They're pretty evenly matched in the fight, and after a while, Golden Horn calls for reinforcements from 300 monster spirits from the cave. Wukong isn't at all intimidated by this, and he starts fighting them all with the rod, but they start swarming him and just grabbing onto his legs and waist and not letting go. And he pulls off some hairs, throws them into his mouth, chews them, spits them out into the air, and shouts change, and they turn into hundreds of Monkey King clones.
Portable army. We
Yeah.
haven't seen that in a while.
No, but it's never not going to be useful.
Yep. Always keep your portable army with you. If you're going on a night out, put it in your bra.
The Wukong clones fight off the minions before surrounding Golden Horn himself. So trapped, Golden Horn passes his sword to his left hand and pulls out the Palm Leaf Fan instead. He fans the ground, which causes fire just to leap out from the earth, and he keeps fanning the fire into an inferno. And the fire, it won't harm Wukong himself, but it will burn up all his hairs. So he summons,
Oh.
yeah, so he summons them back to himself, except for one. He has one clone flee as a distraction. While he makes a fire-resistant magic sign with his hands, and he runs back into the cave while Golden Horn is distracted by the clone. What all the minions that Wukong fought off earlier are at the entrance to the cave, tending to their wounds, and Wukong decides to finish them off while he's there. After killing all of them, he starts to see a glow from inside the cave, and he's worried that the fire is after spreading in there and that Tripitaka might be hurt or killed. But when he goes in, he realizes it's actually a beam of golden light shining from the Mutton Jade Vase, which he grabs
Ooh.
and forgets about Tripitaka entirely yet again and leaves. He got distracted by the shiny object.
He's not very good at the bodyguard business sometimes, is he?
No, he's too eager
No.
to fight.
Yeah. That's our hyper murder monkey.
Golden Horn then returns to the cave himself to discover there's no one left alive there other than the pilgrims. And he just sits by himself for a while, before just laying his head down on a stone table and just falling asleep. I think he's just having a depression nap at this point.
I mean, fair. Fair. What are you going to do at this point? Your plan's gone to shit. Everyone's dead now. You lost your mother and your brother in one day. This dickhead decided, oh yeah, insult to injury. I'm not going to kill you and give you an honorable death. I'm going to tell you to make us dinner. I
Yeah.
mean, the guy, it's a long day and I do not blame him. My sympathies are with the demon here.
So Wukong sneaks back in again. There's just a lot of going in and out of this cave. And he uses the opportunity to try and steal the fan. But he wakes Goldenhorn up again doing so. And they run out to fight, and end up fighting for even longer this time until it starts to grow dark. When Goldenhorn decides he can't take any more and retreats towards the Crushed Dragon Cave, which is his mom's gaff, if you remember.
Oh no.
So
Oh.
Wukong finally bothers to untie Tripitaka, Baji, and Wu Jing, and Wukong complains that while they were enduring being tied up, he's been on his feet all day. He's been on the move even more than a postman.
Just lying there in terror obviously isn't draining at all.
Yeah. Baji wants to open the gourd and have a look to see if Silverhorn is dissolved, but Wukong tells him not to. There's no reason to rush it. He might still be alive and escape like Wukong did. No need to make the same mistake that they did. He's learned one thing, amazingly.
Oh, yes.
This is the first time he's ever learned. Just literally, just don't open the gourd.
Yep,
Because he.
yep. The
In case he's not dead yet. That's it.
impulse control. There we go. That's my hyper murder monkey. Proud of you, boy.
He learns things when what the lesson is how to murder people more effectively.
I mean, he needs to be motivated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the pilgrims raid the cave for rice, noodles, and vegetables to cook and whip up a meal and spend the night in the cave. With all the bodies around piled around, presumably.
Presumably, I mean, that's it seems like the kind of thing that can be cleaned up in the morning. They're still gonna be dead. They're
So
still going to be dead, right?
they are still going to be dead.
Okay, I just had to check.
Meanwhile, Goldenhorn at the Crushed Dragon Cave has been getting his mother's minions up to speed on what's happened when Goldenhorn's uncle, Great King Fox Number 7, shows up. There's no kind of footnote or any explanation as to why his name is Great King
So,
Fox Number 7, but it's an interesting
well,
name.
this guy was rapidly running out of ideas, wasn't he?
The author.
Yeah. It's like how
I mean,
in,
there might be
if
some relevant myth or other like story that would give context to it, and there's just no
Great
footnote for it
King
this
Fox
time.
number 7. I don't know, maybe it is like it's like in the Sherlock Holmes books where just every guy is just named James now. The fucking Conan Doyle's just given up. It's just everyone's called James.
Even John Watson is called James now.
Yeah, it's just easier to remember.
So anyway, Number 7 heard that his older sister was killed by Pilgrim Sun, and he's brought 200 soldiers to get revenge.
Oh, well, fair,
Yeah.
just fair.
Yeah, so he and Goldenhorn have a bit of a cry, and fill each other in on everything, before heading back to find Wukong. So, in the morning, Xiao Wujing is getting breakfast ready when he hears a sudden loud gust of wind outside the cave. So he kind of casually pokes his head out to see what's going on, and oh, there's a fucking army outside suddenly.
What?
Yeah, they weren't there a few seconds ago.
Yeah, it's gonna take you by surprise. Now, I'm not a morning person at the best of times, but I feel like an army would kind of put a dent in even the chirpiest.
Yeah. Well, Wukong, as usual, isn't worried. He takes all of the treasures that he stole from Golden Silverhorn, and he goes out to fight Goldenhorn and Seven. So we get a little bit of a description of Seven. He has a long beard, wiry eyebrows, and knife-like ears. And he has a golden helmet, a knitted cuirass, and a halberd.
Okay.
So Wukong starts fighting Seven, who flees, and Goldenhorn steps in instead. And when Wukong is tied up fighting Goldenhorn, Seven rushes in to take advantage, but Baji jumps in and blocks him with his rake and defends Wukong. And they continue sparring as Wukong fights Goldenhorn.
Efficient.
Tripitaka tells Wu Jing to go check on the two of them, and make sure they're all right, and he joins the fight as well, which starts to turn against the demons. So number seven turns to flee again, but Baji brings down the rake on his back and kills him. When Goldenhorn sees this, he abandons the fight with Wukong to attack Baji instead. Baji blocks him, and Wu Jing runs in to help, and the two of them start beating back Goldenhorn together. Wukong realizes that Goldenhorn is getting pretty distracted in all this, and he decides to try using the vase on him. He opens it up and calls out, "Great King Goldenhorn." And Goldenhorn thinks it's one of his soldiers calling to him, and he answers and immediately gets sucked inside. And
Yeah.
yeah, Wukong seals him in and grabs the Sword of Seven Stars to add to his growing collection of magic items.
How is he carrying all of these around?
I don't know, just
Bag of holding. There's a bag of holding. We won't overthink it.
yeah. It did the chapter or two ago. It did say that all these magic treasures also like grow and shrink the same way the iron rod does.
And now aren't we glad we had that explanation?
I mean, they're not massive. Like you can carry us. You could just. I guess you could assume the. It doesn't say it, but maybe the sword just has, what you call it, the sheath with it.
I mean, sure, you can carry the sword, but you also have to carry the gourd and all the other bizarre magical items. And it's just like going on holiday and you don't want to pay extra to fucking Ryanair for your suitcase. You think, oh, I'll just buy that one book, and then it just snowballs, you know?
Oh, well, this is when I was in America for like 6 months, but I once spent like a little over $200 posting a box of books back to myself from America.
Oh no. Hell of a rip off. Yeah, I guess you were living there for like 6 months anyway. You know, that's allowable. I had one ill-advised trip to Heianwai and just went fucking nuts.
I brought a Kindle with me as a whole thing of like, I'll just read the Kindle and I won't buy loads of books, and then I bought loads of books.
Well, I mean, Amazon sucks, so.
True. You can get non-Amazon books and put them onto a Kindle as well.
Yeah, I really need to investigate more non-Amazon ebook retailers.
And there are ways of, you can pirate ebooks, and there's ways of stripping the DRM off ones you get off Amazon as well.
One could do that if one were so inclined. Yes.
Which I'm not saying I have done, but I have done that.
Support your local library, kids.
Support your
Support.
library and not Amazon.
Yeah.
My local library has a 3D printer now, which is cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
and it's completely free to use with I think they don't have any like specific rules other than just like don't take the piss, just it's free to make some small things with it.
Don't print a gun.
Don't print a gun. Don't print an entire Warhammer army.
Yeah. Did you print an entire Warhammer
I did
army,
not. I did
Corvus?
not. I actually only ever tried to use it once, and someone else was using it, and I never got around to trying it again. And then there was a pandemic.
Yeah. God damn it. I want
So
to play with a Fae Encounter.
do you remember when we started this podcast and we made a reference to the pandemic, and you kind of said, I believe you said, for you kind of said something like, if someone's listening to this in the future, it is the plague year, by the way. And then I pessimistically said, and specifically, we mean 2020, not all the future plague years. And you thought I was being pessimistic, and here we are.
Okay, well, yes, there are now plague years plural, and obviously there will be further pandemics. This is like a once in a century, if not more, event. Pandemics happen, but it's. I was it. We were all in denial. Okay, you can't just like just don't
Okay, sorry. I'm
pin this
sorry.
on
I'm sorry
me.
for rubbing my pessimism in your face.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than someone standing on top of a pile of corpses going, "See, I told you this would happen. Look at all the dead people. Aren't I clever?"
I mean that I'm pretty sure that's just what Wukong does every week.
Yes, this is true. This is true. I told you that I would do the horrible thing and kill all the people.
Anyway,
Anyway, back to the back to
the
the
three of them kill all the rest of the army before going back to get Tripitaka. They have breakfast and finally hit the road again.
I love how they include breakfast.
I mean, killing an entire army gets you hungry.
Works up an appetite, you know? And you deserve it. You've worked hard.
So on the road, they come across a blind man who tells them to give him back his treasures.
Please tell me they comply.
Baji thinks it's another monster, but Wukong recognizes that the man is actually Laozi and immediately bows to him.
Yeah.
So
At least, yeah, there is one person that Sun Wukong will not fuck with.
yeah, I will point out as well that in a previous chapter he like specifically said, "Oh, I never bow to anyone. I never even bowed to Laozi." And he just
I
immediately
suppose this is growth.
yeah, but it was a lie. He also previously like bowed to the Jade Emperor and stuff, but
This is true. This is true. It doesn't really align with his mythos.
He likes to claim he's humble sometimes. Or sorry, he like sorry he the opposite in this case actually. But he everything he says about him, he both like claims he's more boastful than what, or sometimes he like plays up his pride and sometimes he plays up his humility depending on what he thinks will make him look good in the moment, is what I meant.
This is true.
But anyway, Laozi explains that all of Gold and Silverhorn's treasures were his. The gourd is what he uses to store elixir. The vase is his water jug. The fan is for tending his fires. The rope is actually just his belt. And the sword is just his sword as well.
Now, I do not want to have any sort of insensitivity towards the Father Taoism here. But it feels like these are chores that could be accomplished with far less dangerous items.
I think it's probably the case of it's not that he needs a fan that creates fire for tending his flames, it's that because it is a fan that he uses for tending his fires,
it's just sort of
It
absorbs the.
inherently becomes a powerful magical item because it is his tool, I think, is more how this works.
Okay, so it's more like radiation, and it's absorbing the
Yeah.
holiness and the magic and everything, rather than, just trying to cut your lawn with a gigantic 8-foot machine made of rotating knives.
Or just the fact that it's a divine tool brought to Earth.
Yeah,
Like if you
that's
could,
fair.
like if you can imagine to like bring it to more of a sci-fi metaphor, if you got a random butter knife from your kitchen and went back in time to the Stone Age, that would be an unbelievably powerful tool compared to anything
I
else
still,
available.
yeah. I don't know. I feel like I am being a pedant right now, but I feel like any butter knife of mine could be bested by a really sharp rock. And I don't know.
Okay,
Sorry.
like I don't like not even just as a knife, but like as a like even just
As a
like
piece of
a
technology.
digging tool, a
Yeah.
lever, something to pry things off, something to strip bark off a tree. Like all of these things it would
True.
be incredible at compared to, yeah, like stones and other things that are available. Maybe I'm overestimating the abilities of a butter knife compared to Stone Age tools. But you know what the point is something that we would consider ordinary could be very powerful in another context, and I think that's kind of it's not that he needs the most powerful fucking weaponized magical fan to tend its flames. It's that being a divine tool to tend divine magical flames makes it an absurdly powerful thing on Earth.
That's more than fair. Yeah, it is sort of funny to think, what'll I drink water out of, this normal, perfectly good vase? No, the magic death dissolving tool. That is what I will
Yeah,
use.
it is a bit harder to justify why that his water jug can dissolve people. I will
Yeah.
admit. Maybe it's like special magic. Maybe it like it actually like dehydrates anything that's in it to turn it into water.
Could be.
But anyway, the explanation does go on. Gold and Silverhorn were actually his assistants.
Oh dear.
They look after his gold and silver brazier respectively.
His what now? His gold and silver.
His gold and silver brazier, yes. Fuck off.
This was nearly a year ago, and I still will not let you forget that. But oh dear, this is a big whoops moment.
Yeah, so they stole his treasures and ran off to Earth with them.
Oh, okay. Less of a big whoops moment. He's done them a
And
favor.
Wukong says that Laozi mustn't be very honorable if he'd allow people from his household to run off and become demons. And Laozi says, "Oh, don't blame me. It's not my fault. Guan Yin asked to borrow them and send them to Earth to test the pilgrimage's resolve."
You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Nobody, Laozi himself, will not argue with fucking Guanyin.
So Wukong, in his head, and absolutely not out loud, calls Guan Yin a rogue. She said she'd provide help on the road, and instead she's after sending them more challenges.
Well, this is the type of help that builds character.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is the basic idea, to be honest.
Yeah.
He thinks that she deserves to be a spinster for, he thinks that she deserves to be a spinster for the rest of her life, and I don't know. I don't think marriage seems like it's her top priority to be honest.
She's got better things to do.
Yeah, I
She's
don't.
got bigger things to worry about. And also, how does spinsterdom work when we're dealing with an immortal being?
I
She's
don't
got
know.
time. She
Yeah.
can be choosy.
I don't know, maybe Wukong's thinking along those lines because he fancies her, maybe. That's it
I
all.
think so.
I'm just engaging in rampant speculation with no base, real basis in the text here, but let's just go with it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm saying I'm making this up. It's
Oh,
not
good.
like,
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I'm saying there's no
Good.
basis in the text for this.
That would make me. I thought you were being sarcastic there, and that would make me so angry.
No. I'm just saying I'm genuinely taking the piss. It's not a real thing.
Okay.
Don't take that seriously.
Okay, good. I can imagine there's some tension there, but if anything were to actually happen, I would take the laptop and throw it out the window. And I work from home and I need it, so it is.
I promise you, Guanyin and Wukong do not fuck.
Thank God. Thank you. This better not be. Yeah, thank you. My mind is at rest.
Anyway, Wukong hands over the treasures, and Laozi opens up the gourd of the vase and pours out the contents, which spills out as two masses of divine ether. And he points at them and transforms them back into Gold and Silverhorn's original forms, his two assistants. And they're fine. They're actually just fine. They're not dead anymore.
No hard feelings. What about their mother?
No, she's still dead.
Off.
I don't
Well.
know. I don't know how that works in light of this revelation, like whether she also came down from heaven or whether she was just an adoptive mother, because she was a fox spirit, and so was her brother, seven or number
Yeah.
seven. But these two are never defined as being foxes, and they're like, to state the obvious, foxes don't have horns.
I've just realized with Great Fox King number 7, is that why they weren't suspicious of Pilgrim's Son, Grimple's Son, Son Pilgrim, and all the rest? It's just like they're also from a family with that doesn't have very creative names.
Maybe, though
And it's like, oh yeah, no, this makes sense.
we never got the mother's name.
Maybe the boys are off working up in heaven in the big cloud.
Yeah.
And you know they're coming down on work, and she's all excited to see them, and just gets dead.
Yeah. It's
Sadly.
unclear how the whole family relationship works
Yeah,
with these.
I should call my mom.
Everyone remember to call your mom. You never know when a hyper murder monkey might.
Unless you know that's not a good relationship for you, in which case you know, prioritize your own well-being. Hyper murder monkey or no.
Anyway, that's the end of the chapter.
Okay. I like that Guanyin is just trolling at this point. They've made a lot of work for her. She deserves it.
Yeah, she stopped helping them and started actively hindering them.
And you know what? Fair. Fair. They've caused her a lot of hassle. I'm not just saying this because I'm scared of her.
I think you had some notes as well.
Very little. You sent me a little bit on the goddess that was mentioned in connection
Yeah, Nuwa,
with the
I
gourd.
think. I'm not sure if I'm
Yeah.
saying that right at all.
Mythological goddess, also often mentioned as the consort of the god Fuxi. Yeah, she used to. There's a famous story about her repairing the heavens by smelting five colored stones.
Yeah, and that's within the chapter. That's where they say that the gourd comes from.
That's where they say the gourd comes from. She's one of the three sovereigns. I'm not sure if that's the same, the three pure ones. But what I basically learned this week is I should have been reading an awful lot more about Taoism and Buddhism, and that it should have been freaking blatantly obvious as a way to understand the context of the novel and where it's coming from outside of my very Western perspective without spoiling things. That should have been extremely obvious.
You dig into like any stories about a god, and they're all interrelated with all every other god and all overlapping hugely.
Yeah, I mean they're it's a soap opera.
Yeah.
But yeah, did a little bit of reading about Taoism and about Laozi, not enough to really sort of speak on it. Kind of got interested in the concept of wu wei, or action without action, and just sort of being in balance and harmony with the will of the universe, and not forcing your own will upon that, in my very limited understanding. And just it's just kind of fun to me that Sun Wukong is the anti that, you know. I got a little I got quite interested because immortality is mentioned as a thing that can happen to learned people in Taoism or Taoism or whichever Romanization of these kinds of things. It's yeah, I'm not sure which is correct. And that kind of interested me because, you know, that seems like the opposite of being in balance with the universe, where the big certainty is that things fucking die. But yeah, that's interesting. But like that, as a long process of learning and of kind of rising above it and everything, that makes sense. And we were having a chat before we came on about how, where that kind of fits in with Buddhism as well. And but you know, Sun Wukong doing Sun Wukarin and literally going and demanding that the universe bend to his will. It's kind of it's an interest it yeah, it makes his sort of journey and his humbling by the gods makes a lot more sense to me now. Sort of weird thing about Laozi is in some t we're not actually sure if he existed. He possibly did, he possibly didn't. He was possibly one of many different figures. We do know that the most people agree that the Tao Te Ching, which is usually attributed to him, was not written by this guy or by one person, and it's a collection of aphorisms and sayings and writings. In this period, and in a lot of other places, he's deified, as you can kind of tell from the story. But his one of his origin stories is that he was gestating in his mother's womb for 62 years and was born as a grown man with a white beard.
I don't
His mother
like
gave
that.
birth against a plum tree. I don't like that either. Also, this is the Tang Dynasty or dynasty. He was claimed as the sort of progenitor, as a relative of the Tang or Tong. So yeah, that's most of what I have
Yeah, there's a
there.
thing referenced as well, which is weird in the that Nuwa and like loads of other gods are reincarnations of Laozi or something. I didn't really understand this. They're like it reincarnations of Laozi, but they also live contemporaneously with each other, it seems.
Yeah.
I don't. Like it, the story within the chapter mentions Laozi becoming Nuwa and acting as her,
Yeah.
and I don't. It's something I it is very interesting, and I definitely don't fully appreciate it, or don't understand
Yeah,
it enough.
I'm gonna commit to reading more, 'cause obviously this was the most freaking obvious thing I could have
That
done.
we're missing a lot here.
This would have been
I mean, you could hardly like, yeah, MJ, just in go off and come back next week and have learned, the entire canon of a fucking 10,000-year-old philosophy, or probably not that quite that old, but thousands of year old philosophy. It's
I
fine.
mean, I'll do my best. No, but I probably should have had at least a surface level knowledge of the framework we're working with here. But yeah, so interesting. It'll be interesting to learn more. Did you have any other footnotes?
Listen to another show that MJ is doing.
Oh yes, this is a watch show. You can see this with your eyes. It is I plugged this on the podcast a while back while it was still in development, which was a mistake, and it never came out. But this is a collaboration I'm doing. It's produced with the Rogue Gallery and Studios in Waterford. It is called Molehills to Die On, and I get comedians to tear each other apart verbally over the most stupid arguments humanly imaginable. So I really went into this, with a dream, and my dream was to end some lifelong friendships over whether Microsoft Clippy was a good idea or not. And I think I got there, guys. I think I got there. So that's gonna be, if you follow the Rogue Gallery and Studios on any of those
Is a door that you
platforms.
press a button to open an automatic door?
You remember that one? If you guys have any opinions on that, that's an argument I had with my grandmother many years ago. And if you wanna give me any sort of feedback, she has been dead for a very long time. But I still want to know I'm right. So, yep.
There'll be links to all this in the show notes, as well as Twitter.
We're done. We're done.
Bye.
We're ending this now. Bye.
Bye.